Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hello, everybody. It's just us, guys. Just you and me, Joe Elvin, and him, James Williams.
Hello, hello.
Say hi, James. Yes. And it is the weekly podcast where, frankly, the super stupid stuff gets the respect it deserves, don't you think?
Amen.
Front and centre, right up all in your grill. And today, James and I are joined by an actual icon, people.
And we don't use that word lightly. We mean it this time.
It's pretty damn mega. We're going to talk about colour uniforms, foreign languages, and food ruts. I can't think of anyone better to talk about this stuff with than the absolute, actual pop icon, pop legend, Rick Astley, everybody.
Way!
Do you feel like that needs a little...
Thank you.
It does.
Oh, I wouldn't clap that myself. Yeah.
Applaud yourself. And also, we've got a little hum in the background because we're actually... We're brunching with Rick Astley.
We are indeed.
We're not just podcasting.
We're in the corner of a very nice little restaurant. Actually, it's not that little, but yes.
No, it's good. Nice. How are you, Rick?
I'm very, very well, thank you.
Yes, now, with good. Respect, can you believe you're here with a brand new album all these years later and it's happening all over again?
On the one end, no, if I'm honest. I made the last album to mark being 50 years old and I made it at home in my garage without really expecting to release it properly, and it just kind of grew and grew, and then we went for it.
Success.
It did, really, yeah.
Platinum selling album later,
it's kind of bonkers. And it is a bit weird because you start a project. I didn't even call it a project, I was just making some music and I was thinking, what am I going to do with it? And because you start something like that, it's kind of weird that it ends up the other end of the spectrum. So obviously on this, doing another record, this is the difficult second album, isn't it, really?
But you make it look so easy.
Well,
it's so good.
Thank you, my love. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, tell us a bit about the album. Obviously, it's out very soon.
Yeah, it is. It's out on Friday the 13th, which is a bit of a weird one. But there you
You're
go.
A brave man.
There you go.
You're not a superstitious man, Rick.
No, I'm not.
I once won a ton of money on a Friday the 13th.
Oh, did you know? So okay, all right. Well, that's good then.
Following Joe's footsteps.
That's a good omen. It's out on Friday. I made the record at home in my garage. It's a nice garage.
I love that.
It's not like oil stains on the floor or anything.
Through the garage, where you're sitting there.
It's a converted garage. It's wooden floor, darling.
Oh, please. Come on.
You know what I mean? Live a little.
Is it not more of a summer house?
No, it was a garage.
Oh, okay.
It actually was a garage. We moved into that house about 5 years ago. And it was a garage, and I just converted it completely. It had like a little bedroom and whatever, but it was there was a car in it. In fact, there were motorbikes in it. Anyway, I just thought I'm going to convert it and treat it as my little man cave. So it's not a professional studio in that sense. It's just a room with a bunch of gear in it, really. But people are making records in far worse conditions than that. You know what I mean? So
via Skype. It's all changed.
Yeah, it has all changed. It has. So I just kind of went in there just to noodle a bit and just get my chops going again, because we've been touring the last record a lot. And I was at home alone for a few weeks, and my wife was in America doing something else, and I just got a load of tunes together, and I just kind of thought, well, I'll just start again, because I really kind of was thinking that I'd go and work with some of the songwriters and a producer and all the rest of it, but so I've ended up making the record again. But in lots of ways, it's kind of nice because you don't have any, there's no one or anything to try to translate through. You just do what comes out of your fingers and your voice and you know what I mean? That's what it is.
And was there a long time where you just felt like you couldn't do that or you didn't just want to do that? I
didn't actually feel relevant in terms of making new music. I think a lot of artists go through that because you've been away from it for so long. And even though I've been doing gigs again for like 10 years, literally all over the world, you know, I've been to Australia a couple of times, South America a few times, South Africa, obviously Europe, you know, Asia. We've now actually been back to America again, but only since this last sort of couple of years, really. That's just singing my old songs. It's got nothing to do with new music, really. So I think most artists get to a point where you think, no one's really interested in me doing a new record, so why should I? And I kind of reversed that a little bit when I knew that 50 was coming. My age, that is, not the record. And like I say, I just made some music just to mark that. I can understand why people do struggle, because you get to a point where you look what's happening around you in terms of the charts, and not just from an ageist point of view, but just from every point of view, you just don't feel like there's a space for you anymore.
You don't seem to be in any way precious, though. Obviously, you're passionate about the new music, but you're not precious about playing the old stuff. Because, you know, lots of people tend to shy away from wanting to play the songs that made them famous in the first place.
Yeah, sometimes, yeah, but I also think a lot of the guys that I know and I've met, you know, from my era or maybe a year or two before and a year or two after and stuff, I think we're kind of aware that people do want to hear those songs. I think it just gets a bit confused if you've got a new record and nobody really cares. Because that's kind of like, well, hang on, I've just put my heart and soul into this, and everyone's like, great, can you sing your number one hit from whenever, please?
Yeah.
And it's tough, it is, of course it is, but on the other hand, you can only get into a building to play your new song because you had your old one. So that's, I don't know, I've just been really lucky that for whatever reason, it's kind of worked on this last record.
But also, you know, at the end of the day, it's your voice, so you know, you can, your new material must sit alongside your old material. Because I think a friend of mine actually just said recently they went to see Kim Wilde, and she's done a similar thing. She's brought a whole new album, but it sits alongside all those classic Kids in America, you know. They all work because she kind of brings it all together.
Yeah, and also her brother Ricky, who writes and produces, you know, he produced a lot of those massive records and what have you. They're a tight knit family and what have you. And also, I think because she's quite aware of what's going on around her kid. You know, I know Kim quite well, I know her family, and I don't think she's one of those kind of people who lives in this kind of dream world. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think she's made a record that kind of represents her, and there's a connection to the artist that we all know. You know, so yeah.
Are you having more fun this time around?
It's just not as pressured because I'm not really famous. So
you must get stopped for selfies, surely.
Do you want me to walk around and, you know, I mean, it's not like anyone's clambering at the window.
Okay, well, Joe and I were very excited when you said you'd be to the podcast.
Yes. Although, mixed feelings. I can't think of you without thinking about my first boyfriend. And that whole era.
Okay, this is either frightening or...
We did give each other up. We did.
You did?
Yeah, we sang that song to each other.
You weren't together forever.
Didn't really
No, but I'm genuinely not famous. I came here on the train and, you know, walked out of Waterloo Station and walked over here, and that's...
I love you for that, but
no,
I also
can't... There's no way that's true. There's no way. You're the kind of famous...
Come with me.
To
Hampton Court on the train.
Him.
Maybe that's what it is.
No, yeah. I think... You know what I think it is? I think if you make eye contact with people and there's some kind of recognition, then, yeah, that's one thing. But, you know, I read a book on the train and, you know... I normally do drive into town, but I just decided to take the train today and what have you.
I mean, anyone that makes eye contact on the tube is a lunatic normally.
This is true.
Yeah.
This is true, so, yeah.
That's a good way to get a seat, though.
It's true.
You know when anyone's sitting next to you, just look at them.
Yeah, but I kind of live... I live in the outs. It's not even London, so I live in, like, a kind of leafy suburb. So... when people get on the train there, they actually sort of say morning and things like that sometimes. Not everybody,
yeah.
But there is a bit of like, morning.
A bit more.
Oh, it's warm, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. A recognition so that we're all human beings.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the closer you get into the centre of London, it's like everyone just ignores everybody a bit.
Yeah. But obviously, I have to say to you as well, I actually think I speak for a lot of people when I nearly combusted when I saw you singing at Kylie's 50th birthday.
Right, okay,
party.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
that for
yeah.
kids of my generation, that yeah, was yeah, literally yeah. like... a bit of Instagram that made all of our hearts soar.
Yeah. I actually, through a friend of a friend, got invited to that, and I couldn't go.
Oh my word!
And you missed it.
That's like losing your lottery ticket.
I know.
Yeah.
But was that? I mean, is it nice that you've still got so many people from the first time around? We're still doing so well.
Yeah, I mean, Kylie's a bit of a she's out on her own a little bit in the sense that she's had a 30-year career. She's never. I know she's probably had a few breaks here and there, but I mean, she's never really stopped making records.
No.
And to be fair, she's never really stopped having hits.
Yeah, true.
You know, which is pretty astounding for to say that of any artist in the world ever. That's pretty amazing.
She doesn't really get enough credit, I think, for that. I think a lot of the time people tend to not realise.
She probably doesn't. You're probably right. But I think also because she is like a national treasure, she probably gets put in a certain bracket rather than being a bracket as like, she's been an artist for 30 years.
Yeah.
You know, that's... hats off. That's
yeah.
pretty astounding, I think. You know.
Well, I think this is, you know, the resurging national treasure.
Yes.
Here on this podcast.
Exactly.
This is a podcast. Well, look, someone's yeah. Yay! Yay!
He recognises you. Yeah.
There you go. There you go.
We won't rest until there's a Rick Astley
yeah,
statue.
But the weird, amazing, wonderful thing is that I get to go and do gigs and perform for people and, you know, they sing along and thankfully they're into the new stuff. But afterwards, nobody cares. No, I just walk around doing whatever I do. So that's kind of perfect.
And that's yeah. a lovely balance.
It is. It's amazing.
It?
Yeah.
You've got the perfect... You can still do the day job and not have all the crap that goes with it.
To be honest, and I only mean this literally in a fleeting moment, I have thought on occasion, like when the last album went to number one, there was a moment thinking... what does this mean? Does this mean I can't go to Tesco's anymore?
Do I want this?
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, do you? Well, yeah, because obviously the first time around, you must have been at a level of...
Oh, the first time it was insane.
Hysteria,
it was
right?
literally bonkers the first time.
Yeah.
Because also I was one of those kind of guys that appealed to 5, 6, 7-year-old kids to their grandmother.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So there wasn't really... And I remember when I used to go to America and the TV woman who did all the promotion for TV over there sort of said... I love it when you come because I can get you on everything. And I'm going,
same.
Oh, right, okay.
There's like a shadow of his former self
yeah,
running
and,
ragged around the stage.
Yeah,
but
know,
even
so,
now when you go to your gigs, do you still find, is there a sort of extreme of ages or is it pretty much a core fan base?
It's mainly an age group, obviously,
yeah.
because people, I'm not fooling myself, people really are still coming for the old songs and some like the new ones. But,
yeah.
but it, you know, that's, I'm not going to, totally put it in a nostalgia bracket because like we played half a dozen songs from 50 and we're going to play a few from this one, so we're getting
yeah.
to a point where half the gig's going to be songs of the last
yeah.
two
yeah.
or 3 years, which is a bit weird, but it, but that's what it's going to be on the next tour that I do. But yeah, there's, of course there's an element of nostalgia to it because there is, if I go and see one of my favourite bands from when I was a kid, do you know what I mean, it's kind of like why would there not be, you know,
yeah.
even if they're still releasing records, there's
yeah.
a, you know, there's some, even going to someone like Kylie or Madonna, there's an element of nostalgia because when Madonna does Holiday, the place goes nuts.
Yeah.
And when Kylie sings, you know, I should be so lucky, the place melts.
Exactly.
Even though they might love a new album even more than that, but it's like, it's part of our lives, isn't it? So
yeah.
it's... Well,
and I think that balance right, I think.
Yeah, and
I
you've got to recognise that, and I think you have to own it. If people go on a stage thinking, oh, well, we'll just troll through the old stuff so I can get to the new stuff, I kind of think you're doing them, your audience and yourself a disservice, you know what I mean?
So when does your tour start?
We start in September in Europe, and then we come back to the UK in end of October, I think it is.
And tickets available now, I'm assuming?
Yeah, we've definitely got some tickets out there.
So
yeah.
where to get the tickets, where should
oh,
they go?
Oh, my word, I don't know. There's
your website?
The internet.
Just Google Rick Astley
yeah,
Tour.
Exactly, yeah.
And
yeah.
the album Beautiful Life, right?
Beautiful Life,
is
yeah.
out in July this month, so
indeed.
Do check it out.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Rick Astley. Now, is it just me, or are you doing that thing where you wear the same colour clothes every single day?
Well, when you say, no, obviously, are you saying you are, Rick?
I am.
Do you wear black every day?
If I'm at home and I know I'm not doing anything, and like it's been really hot recently, obviously, I do have shorts that aren't black, and I do have T-shirts that aren't black. But if I'm going out of the front door, tend to just put a black t-shirt on and a black pair of jeans.
And what's the thinking behind this? Is there a conscious reason?
There's probably two reasons. One is it's simple. It's really easy. I do have a friend, hi Kev, who wears nothing but black. Ever. And I can't remember who it was. It might have been a photographer back in the day, an American guy. And all he ever wore was a pair of Levi's and a white t-shirt every day of his life. Because you don't have to think about it. You just go to the pub and do that every day.
It simplifies life.
It's the Mark Zuckerberg approach.
Well, yeah.
Steve Jobs.
And I wish I could do it, actually.
I think it's slightly different. I think it's slightly different, if I'm honest, if you're going to interact with other human beings in a different way, in the sense that what I do is a bit odd to what I do for a living. So if I just want to wear black, I can kind of get away with that. But if you're going to go to an office every day and wear the same clothes, that might get a bit unusual. I know certain designers do it, and certain, you know what I mean? But I think it is a bit odd. There's one guy who, he's an architect. I think he works with Sir Richard Rogers, I think it is. And he wears like all red one day, or all green, or all blue. I'm on about shoes, socks, trousers,
colour blocking,
shirt, tie. And he does it in primary colours, and it's amazing.
I wonder what happens. Do you think he doesn't leave the house if he gets his red outfit out and realises that the red tie is in my wash, he'd have to wear a blue one?
I think he's a very, very qualified, highly respected, intelligent architect, and I imagine his cupboard is a bit like that as well.
But also,
I don't think he ever has his tie in the wash when he doesn't want it to be in the wash. Do you know what I'm saying?
That's a system and a half. I can't compete with that.
I would also say that, because I kind of get where you're coming from, Rick, in terms of people who wear like a colour all the time, because I would argue black is always smart, it's always presentable, you can pretty much wear it anywhere.
That's the thing, it's a day and night thing.
Yeah,
as well.
Exactly.
I mean, for instance, I'm wearing, just for the listeners at home, I'm wearing a black proper shirt, but it's a black pair of jeans and my black pair of trainers, and it's not necessarily like a fashion statement. It's just easy. And it's kind of like, you know. But
you can wear it anyway.
But if someone said we're actually going out to a restaurant after, I can get away with it. Even a nice restaurant, because it's a shirt with a collar on it.
And it's obvious to the naked eye that Rick Astley has no dandruff. Not everybody can wear black.
Yes, that is true.
Okay, I'll take that.
There you go. You're just showing off, really, Rick.
There you go.
Well, I mean, I kind of hear you on this one. I have to say, my default colour is blue.
Mm.
I'm kind of wearing turquoise.
So you're calling that blue? I was going to say, that's not blue to me.
It's not, but, you know, there was a point in my life where I would always wear navy blue.
Just checking out what you've got underneath there.
And then my friends would always take the piss out of me, because I would, and if I go into a shop, I'd always, like, in a clothes shop, I would navigate straight towards the blue. Anything blue, like a magpie for blue.
Yeah.
And so then, actually, about 10 years ago, I made a concerted effort for the next year to only buy things that weren't blue. Yeah. So I thought, stop being that cliche, get out of your rut, get out of your, you know, safety blanket. And so I then did. And it is funny, but I mean, I still have to say, like you, when I'm having a moment of, oh God, I don't know what to wear today, or I've got an important meeting today, I will always go to those blue things. I kind of know straight away, I can put that on.
Yeah.
It's a confidence comfort thing. But I do think it's exciting to mix things up every once in a while. I mean, you're a big fan of colour, Jo.
I don't know if it speaks to a very weak character, but I would lose all my joie de vivre if I had to wear the same colour every day. I don't know. It gets me out of bed thinking, oh, well, you can wear that today, and that's different to that. It defines my day. It cuts up my week. It helps me remember what I was doing last week. Literally, it's crazy.
In this hot weather, Rick, are you not tempted to mix up the black a bit?
Not really. No. I mean, I think it's not like I travel all the time, but I do quite a bit of traveling. And if you're going to pack a bag. And you can just... I mean, the other thing is as well, I buy, for instance, if I go and buy... If I find a T-shirt I like, I go and buy 10 of them. Because I like the cut of it or the whatever, and I think, right, so I know that's sorted. For the next whatever period of time, I've always got some decent T-shirts. And I'm the same shirts, trousers and everything. I've literally got, I think, 8 pairs of these jeans.
But do you like shopping, or do you do that now?
I don't.
You think, oh, good, if I do it this 10 times now, I don't have to do it for a year.
It's not because I don't have to do it for a year. It's just because I'm sorted. I don't have to think about it. I've got other things I'd rather be dealing with.
Does your wife not try to push you into other different territories buy you things?
I have got other colours, and I do wear them. And if, for instance, someone invites you to something that's more appropriate to wear... whatever, I will obviously do it, you know what I mean? But I think when you're just kind of hanging, it's like, it's just easy, you know?
But I would always say, packing a bag to go on holiday or a mini break or whatever is much easier if you stick to one colour.
Because everything matches.
Yeah, and also it means you don't chuck in everything, you chuck in outfits, everything goes together.
What about this? I'm going to the Maldives next month.
Get you,
Joe. Poor Joe, pray for Joe.
So, I can't believe it. I can't imagine an all-black wardrobe. Working on the sort of azure white sands.
Well, hang on, let's face it, you're not going to be wearing much in the Maldives, are
you? Well, you know, Rick, I'm a modest lady.
You're going to have a bikini.
Yeah.
Right, that could be black.
Black.
You might go for a swimsuit because you want to do some actual swimming and
what
have
you. Would wear all black every day.
Because for instance, my swim shorts, if we're going to get into the details.
Come on now, let's talk the nitty gritty.
I've got olive green ones.
Ooh.
I've got 3 pairs of those.
That's quite a departure.
Obviously not just one pair. I've got some sky blue ones, a few pairs of those. And I've also got some blue flowery ones.
Oh my.
But I mean...
You live on the edge when it comes to swimwear.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're in swimwear, then mentally you're somewhere else. And you're not... I'm not being... Most of my life, when I'm in one of these phases, when we're doing a record and touring and stuff, you're in a rush all the time. There's like a few moments in between the next thing you're probably going to do. So I don't want to go to my room and go, now then, what am I going to wear?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Whereas if I'm swimming, generally speaking, I could be swimming in a hotel, of course I could, on a work thing. But if I'm on a beach, then I'm on holiday, so it doesn't... The black thing can go out the window a little bit.
Well,
you know what I mean?
I'll tell you
so
something.
If I go skiing, for instance, I like to take like a checked shirt or two. Do you know what I mean?
Oh.
You know, like a lumberjack style.
Well,
you know
you
want
to be able to be visible for any rescue scenario.
Well, no, I wouldn't wear them on the slopes. I'm all about for a beer after. You know what I mean? No, my ski gear is all black as well.
I was hoping you were going to push it with some fluoro.
No.
But I do appreciate the thought you've given to this topic. I must say.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Well, no, I do get it, because I think there are lots of very successful people that do have that, because it saves time, and I think there's a logic to it.
Yeah, yeah.
But also, can I ask you, Rick, if you have a fine head of hair, do you spend a lot of time getting that looking good?
I've been unbelievably lucky. My whole family have got hair.
It's genes, is it?
Yeah,
genetic
with
the men.
Yeah, yeah. So,
I mean, it looks the same now as it did in the 80s. I mean,
this one actually came in a box from China, to be honest, No, I've just been really lucky, and I don't really have to do much with it. The only thing I have to do is get it cut a lot, because it grows really fast.
Yeah.
So, other than that, I've been really lucky.
But in summary for this topic, I think next time you're in an exotic location and you see a man that looks a bit like Rick Astley wearing very brave swimwear, it is him, and go up for a selfie.
take a picture, because we need to see him.
Yes.
Williams, Rick Astley, is it just me, and I very much doubt it, who is a sucker for anybody who can speak a second language?
No.
Language?
I think I've got a feeling where Rick's going to go with this. You've just mentioned your wife.
Yes, my wife is from Denmark.
Sure. Was that what attracted you to her in the first place?
No. At the time when we met all those years ago, she worked on a record label, and that's how we met. I was going to different countries almost every day of my life, so I was obviously Europe being what it is, kind of every morning you'd wake up somewhere else or what have you and kind of go, oh, right, okay, you know. I think the Latin languages, you know, if you look at Spanish and Italian, that's always, I think for women and men, that's quite a romantic sort of, you know.
Can you speak any languages?
Not really. I can speak a little bit of Danish.
I was going to say, you must have picked up a little bit.
I speak a bit of Danish. That's not a romantic language, to be honest. No.
But I'll bet such sexy people, though.
If I were to say, I soon do a daily.
I have no idea.
No, that means I think you're wonderful.
Ah.
So, but it's.
See, I didn't know that, and I still liked it.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
No, I said like, I mean, anything sounds good to me. Anyone, I mean, I say this because I recently started a job, and the girl opposite me is just one of those people, like, she's doing lots of calls,
yeah,
and she's just busting her different languages all the time. Yeah, yeah, and I'm just sat there with my mouth open going, that is so goddamn cool, and I just think it's so great.
Yeah.
And I think so uneducated.
Well, I also feel a bit as British people, we're quite bad. So I think we tend to go everywhere in the world assuming everyone speaks English, because to be fair, they do.
Yeah.
And then, well, no, you do, but it makes us quite late.
To be fair, they do.
But they do, but I think because they're a bit more, they tend to look more outside, they're not as insular, I think, as a lot of British people tend to be. And so, you know, we go everywhere and we don't really make any effort. So when you see people then busting out these languages, I'm just always in awe.
I think there's definitely that side of it, but I'm 52, and when I went to school, we did French, we did German, I think you could do Spanish at one point. But in those days, people were only just waking up to the idea of going on holiday to Spain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, literally for a week or possibly two, not even every year. And now the amount of travelling that people do, it's completely different to what it was 30 years ago, 40 years ago, let's say. So when we did languages at school, I thought, well, what is the point of that? What is the point of me ever learning to speak French, German, Spanish, whatever?
I'm not going to use it.
Because that's why we just bullied our German teacher. We didn't actually learn anything. We were terrible. Really terrorised.
Well, I really wish now I had learned to speak the language. But,
it's still my bucket list.
Well, it's never too late to learn. And I must say, I've been in South America a bit, a couple of times, and obviously Spain, and kind of thought, how amazing would it be to speak Spanish? Because I just think you understand where you are a bit more when you actually speak the language. Because if you go in as a tourist to Barcelona, you're going to just simply do all the touristy stuff. And I know, obviously, you could, because of the internet, you can find stuff to do now. There isn't necessary, but the exploring thing has got to be better if you can actually speak the language, surely. Because also, surely, people in those towns kind of think, oh, this person's speaking to me in my language. Okay, well, we'll go a bit further with this. And whereas when they're a bit, you know, just going back to what they know of English, they've got to kind of relate that to you. You know what I mean? And I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I always think if you were dumped in a country and you didn't speak the language, you would, after a certain period of time, surely you would start picking things up. And I always think, I have an idea. If somebody just pushed me to live in rural France for 6 weeks, how quickly would it, you know, sink in and I'd start talking with a bit of confidence?
I did learn to count in Turkish and speak a few things in Turkish, but I was there a month, but that was,
but again,
you have to exercise it, don't you forget it otherwise.
I think the back of your mind, a bit like going back to school days, you have to think to yourself, am I going to use this? And I went to school in Denmark for a couple of weeks. Every day I did lessons, and I'd go out to my favourite cafe, speak to them in Danish, and they'd just reply in perfect English. So eventually I just sort of thought, why am I doing this? Our daughter speaks fluent Danish and she lives in Denmark. So, and I'm really proud of her for doing that, and I think it's amazing that she's managed to grasp hold of that part of her life. And, you know, I'm kind of almost envious of somebody who is bilingual and has that thing of like, well, mum's from here but dad's from there, because it's a total different culture.
I'm Welsh, so from the age of three I was going to a Welsh school speaking Welsh, and then coming home and speaking English to my parents. I don't remember learning but I mean, as much as not everyone speaks Welsh, it's still something I love having. I love having a second language, you know. It is a cool thing to have. And Also, we do actually have quite a lot of international listeners on this show.
Oh, right, okay.
So, if you are listening anywhere around the world, we'd love to hear from you. Do send us an email in your native tongue, and also please translate it into English, or Joe and I will understand it.
I speak Australian. So
Joe's very fluent in Australian. Yeah. And actually, send us an email in Welsh, if you like, and I can understand that. We love hearing from you guys.
Can you read Welsh as well?
Yeah, read.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So, guys, drop us an email at isitjustmepodcast@gmail.com. We love hearing from you. Send us any suggestions for future topics. So, Rick Astley. I still can't believe I'm saying the words Rick Astley on this podcast. It's so cool.
Real.
I know. So, Mr. Rick Astley and Joe Elvin, lastly today, is it just me who, and this is quite appropriate seeing as we're in a very busy restaurant, who is stuck in a food rut? Now, I say this is somebody who, you know, I like to cook, I like to eat, but I have to say, I think when you get busy, you do tend to just go to your, it's a bit like we were talking about earlier with your clothing, you go to a default, and I see people as well in offices, you know, they go to Pret every day, or they go to Itzy every day, or they go, and they literally, I mean, they're worse than me, I think, because at least I like to mix it up. I mean, some people will literally eat the same thing every day.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I don't get that. I do get there's an element of convenience to it, but also sometimes I want to give it a bit of a shake and say, come on, live a little.
I've got no choice where I work.
Are you limited?
It's actually really getting me down. I've got like a choice of basically two places every day now.
But I would say though, on the flip side of that, you then mix things up, I think. Whenever you post something on Instagram, you've tried a new recipe, you've cooked something new. I mean, are you a big cook, Rick?
I'm not a cook at all, really. No,
really?
I can feed myself if there's no one in the house, but it's in a very limited way.
What's your repertoire?
I'll grate Parmesan and what have you, and you know, and I'll throw a rocket, into a bowl and put tomatoes
when
on it.
Parmesan was hot and exotic. And
yeah, and avocados.
When I came to England in the 90s, nobody had Parmesan.
No, well,
or it was just in that sort of sawdust. They'd already turned it into.
We've got a massive Parmesan in our fridge. It's so big, it's ridiculous.
I mean, that is.
And
super
I'm waiting.
Posh.
No, but it's massive.
Yeah.
I can't remember how we came across it. Something to do with my wife because she's really into food.
There must be a strong smell off it, though, isn't it?
No,
it's
sealed.
Oh, okay.
And I keep looking at it, going,
what are we going to do with it?
What are we going to do with it at some point? And I think she's got a plan. But the other thing is, you see, the food thing is I'm really lucky. I do travel a bit. I get to stay in nice hotels sometimes, and you know, we do plan a lot around restaurants when we're touring and stuff. Like we were in Ohio, which no offense to anybody from Ohio, but I don't even think they themselves would see themselves as the culinary center of the world. And we went to one of the best restaurants we've been to in years in Cincinnati, and my wife's really good about researching restaurants. And the guy who was the chef there had been a chef in a restaurant in Copenhagen, which is one of the food capitals of the world right now. So she knew it was going to be good, and we went there, and it was amazing.
She smoked him out.
Yeah. So when I get home, I'm not really that bothered. So if I were to, for instance, have scrambled eggs in the morning, and whatever for lunch, you know, and I'm just happy to eat something fairly simple and just get on with it.
Building up quite a picture of you sitting in your man cave with your egg sandwich and your black t-shirt.
This is no joke. Yeah. This is exactly me. Yeah. But I think because it's you've used the word balance a little bit,
yeah,
you know, James, and I think that's like I say. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying my life's rock and roll and this, that, and the other. But when we're out there touring and doing stuff, we do go to some pretty amazing places, and we do experience, you know, we were in Chile for a few weeks, a year or two ago. So, like, we're experiencing foods and different things and a lot of Peruvian influence as well and stuff like that. So when you get home, I'm kind of happy to have beans on toast, because that's almost exotic.
Yeah.
I don't mean that to sound, but it almost is, because that's the total opposite end of the spectrum.
You know, you crave a crumpet when you go away to all these exotic places.
Yeah.
It's the first thing I want when I get off a long flight is a crumpet in honey.
Yeah,
and well, there's big giants.
I mean, I feel for you going to the Maldives. Do you know what I mean?
Because
all you're going to be eating is like fresh fish.
There's
and,
no crumpets,
you know,
in the Maldives.
No, there won't be. Well, that's debatable, Mrs.
I'm going to wear a big baggy, colourful caftan and just stuff my face.
And why not?
Yeah,
why not?
Yeah.
Catch your own fish.
No. That's a bit of effort.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Fair enough. Well, probably not in the Maldives, just hold a piece of bread.
Well, there's a lot of sharks.
Oh, is there?
It's good to swim with lots of little baby sharks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. As long as the baby ones, yeah.
Yeah, no, they're really cute, actually.
Yeah.
But the food thing, it's an interesting one, because I think, like I say, I think when you're busy, it is easy to get in a rut, but I don't think there's as long as that's not the whole of your life, then that's all right. It's just if it is the whole of your life and all you're doing is that, then maybe you need to shake it up. Why don't you take something to work? Why don't you make something?
I need to do that.
I'm too rushed in the morning.
But you have to do it on a Sunday.
That's a whirlwind of stress for a
Sunday full prep. And Sunday food prep, I have to just start doing it. That's what I've got to start doing again now.
I'll hit you both up with some recipe ideas.
I know.
Also, let's face it, some people, and I'm not one of them, my wife is, she is amazing. She goes to a fridge, she's like a TV advert, she goes to a fridge, and then 25 minutes later, you're just eating something amazing.
Yeah, my husband's
and it
quite
doesn't matter what's there.
She can forage in the fridge and just create something amazing.
Whereas my husband will quite often come home, and I haven't been able to do that, and he'll find me with a bowl of baked beans. I couldn't even find any bread to stick on the baked beans.
Okay.
So that's the real...
You see, that's where you're going wrong, because you put the beans on the bread, by the way, not the bread on the beans.
I mean,
that's where you're going wrong, for starters.
And also, see, that makes your egg on toast a primo.
Yeah, you know, come on. No, well, come on, who doesn't like a fried egg on toast?
I love eggs. You know what I mean? Eggs in any way, shape. People who don't like eggs, I'm a bit suspicious of. Like people who don't like dogs. I don't understand.
Well, this friend of mine, Kev, who only wears black, he doesn't like eggs either. So, I mean, come on, we're putting him in a box now.
Kevin,
we're putting him in a
you
corner.
Need to look at your life.
I don't know if we get on with Kevin.
Oh,
no eggs.
He's a lovely lad.
I'm sure he is.
He is.
But he just needs to eat some eggs and wear some more colour.
That isn't going to matter. On either.
But on that note, yes.
Yeah.
Nice to sort of meet you, Kevin.
Yeah.
And lovely to meet you, Rick.
Yeah, and you.
Thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure, thank you.
And yeah,
thank you to everybody in the restaurant.
I was going to say, speaking of languages, I spoke baby.
Well, I think that last sort of thing, chat that we had, I think that worked because of all the noise, the restaurant, the whole food,
absolutely.
Rubs, you know. I'm getting hungry now, you know.
To be honest, and they were just getting involved. I think they're very passionate.
Oh, yeah.
Egg on toast.
I'm trying to think where I am tonight. Oh, the football's on tonight. No, so I will be... football's on every night, isn't it?
I know.
I'll be... I think we might be having a quick bowl of pasta.
Oh.
Because I'm doing something right up until kickoff. At home, but I'm still doing something. And it'll just be a quick shimmy in the... What's it? But my friend Simon's coming round. Hello, Simon. he's not a cook, but he's a bit of a... dab hand with the pastas.
He's got his eye on that parmesan.
He makes his own.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, quite.
Put that parmesan.
He's got to be able to lift it.
Yeah.
First. But he makes his own. He makes his own sauces.
Oh, crazy!
Deal with that.
But can you make your own pasta? I can actually
do
that.
Well, now you see. Now it's all coming out.
Yeah. Exactly. She can't put beans on toast together. No, she can make her own pasta.
See that? I know how difficult that is because we have had. We still may own it. A pasta machine.
It's easy.
And our daughter makes her own pasta.
You just need patience, you don't need skill.
You need time.
Yeah.
Also, I'm going to channel more of your daughter. She sounds amazing. She can speak languages, she can make her own pasta.
She is pretty amazing, to be honest. We're very, very lucky. She is an amazing... I'm going to call her a woman now, because she's 26.
Oh, wow. You don't look old enough to have a 26-year-old daughter,
really,
Mr. Astley.
Well, sleep in a fridge. That's my... Don't try that at home, kids.
Don't sleep in a fridge.
I'm definitely trying that.
Embrace the signature colour.
Put your body in a fridge, not your head.
Just freeze you. Anyway, Rick, good luck with the album.
Cheers,
out now. You. Good luck with the tour at the end of the year.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Take care.
Thanks for having me.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.